So last night when we were praying, we normally pray with the girls. Ro asked a special little prayer for today's message. She said, "Please don't let Daddy say anything bad." So I'll try to keep doing that if I can. Family road trip with kids. The destination is always fun, but the journey is plagued with complaints. "I'm so bored. We've been on the road forever. What can I do now? Why aren't there more snacks? Why aren't we still there yet? You brought mixed nuts? I only like cashews. I've seen this movie 100 times. Daddy, why is my tablet about to die? Didn't you charge it before we left?" The anticipated joy of the destination is often sidetracked with complaining that goes on from the back seat. There's usually other kinds of complaining. "She pulled my hair." "Ro, I was about to do that." Mabel! I could probably go on for like 20 minutes, seriously. But sort of get my drift. So complaining is definitely something that happens with kids. When we were flying to the feast this year, we were fortunate enough to go to Hawaii, and I heard some of the people complain in the lines in the Nashville airport. "Can't they hire more staff? Why is this taking so long? Where are all these people going?" You hear people complain in the restaurants between layovers. "These fries are too salty. I have a plane to catch. Where's my check? You really don't have Diet Pepsi?" Whatever. Soda it is. Whatever. I even heard people complain when we got to Hawaii. "Well, Hawaii just isn't as beautiful as I imagined." I was recently reading through the book of Philippians, and something sort of struck me. And if you want to flip over to the book of Philippians 2, I'm going to explore something over here to start off the split sermon. If you go over to the book of Philippians 2, we're going to start off in verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. And it states, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Now, we often reference that. We'll turn to the scripture, reference that, and then we'll just keep going. But I'd like to read verse 15 as well today. "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So why are we to be putting off this complaining and disputing? Well, it says so we can shine as lights in a crooked and perverse generation. Complaining isn't limited to a certain demographic. Complaining isn't only for the rich. It's not only for the poor. Complaining isn't limited to a certain skin color or gender. It isn't limited to the best of times. We're out on vacation, you still hear people complain about whatever, the service, the weather. There's all kinds of things that people complain about. Or the worst of times, when you actually may have a legitimate reason to complain. We can start complaining the first thing when we roll out of bed. The coffee's not ready. First thing we go, try to go to sleep. It's too loud outside. Maybe there's something going on in the apartment next to you. What do we complain about? People. "Can you believe my boss just did that? Teresa needs the cooler Jets before I let her have it." Processes. "My Amazon order just got delayed. That is so frustrating. Why is this patient registration form so long? I don't know why they need all this." Complain about your job. I struggle with this one sometimes. "Seriously, do you know how long that's going to take to put together? It's the last minute. Why would they wait 2 hours before they need it for a meeting? I have to work on the weekend again. I have to get up really early again to try to get something done before I get into the office." We complain about our food. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too bland. The temperature outside. It's not raining. It's raining too much. Traffic. That's a big one here in Nashville. Our health. We tend to complain about that as we age more. The coronavirus. Politicians. Loneliness. Your own kids. If you're a teen, you probably complain about wanting to be somewhere else all the time. If you're here at church, you want to be somewhere else. If you're somewhere else, you're complaining about why you're not at that party. You can just complain all the time, or you're hungry. And if you could name just one thing that you consistently complain about the most, what would it be? I'd like to pause for maybe 20 to 30 seconds. I know it's always awkward when the speaker pauses, but I want you to just think about in your head, what's the one thing that you complain about the most? I'm going to just pause about 20 to 30 seconds. You all can awkwardly look at me. I'm probably going to look down. So just think in your head. You write it on your paper. You can write over, you know, you have your spouse lean over and write it on your paper. That's fine too. I'm going to pause. Just think about what do you complain about the most? All right, that's enough of that awkward pause. I'll stop there. But if you haven't written anything down, just keep thinking about that as we go through the message here. So if you look at this top of your sheet of paper, your computer, whatever you're taking notes on, what do you complain the most about? Like I said, for me, it's my job. I like what I do, but it's very high pressure sometimes, especially certain times of the year where things are just always go, 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 more, 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 faster, faster, faster. So in the rest of the split sermon, I'd like to cover three ways to reduce this chronic complaining. I'd like to cover three ways to reduce chronic complaining. And I use the word reduce because we're all probably going to slip up from time to time. So for me, how do I not complain about things that are going on at work? How do I not just unload on Dot when I get home? For you, maybe it's about how do you not complain about other people? About people saying they're going to do something and then they don't end up doing it. Whatever it is for you. So what is one way we can reduce complaining? Well, point one is be thankful and request help in prayer. Be thankful and request help in prayer. If you flip over to just a page or so to Philippians chapter 4. So again, point one was be thankful and request help in prayer. Flip over just a page to Philippians 4. I'm going to read verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. And it states, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God." When we feel disgruntled, when our soul feels anxious, it comes out of our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Well, the Bible says when we feel anxious, we are to pray with thanksgiving. We are to let God know what things are making us anxious. What do we need them to take care of? Let's continue here in verse 7. Again, this is chapter 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's only by going to God can we get true peace. We think we can find peace and happiness when X happens, you fill in the blank. When you're under 16, you think when you have that car, that's going to make you happy. You're going to be completely happy. All your problems are going to be great. You can just travel around. You're not going to have to worry about your parents as much. When you go to college, when you get out of college, when you go and have that great vacation that you've really earned, everything's just going to be great. You're going to stop complaining. When you buy a certain item, that's what marketing does. It makes you want something. It tells you, hey, if you have this, you're going to be happy. When you find a spouse, then you're going to be happy. When you have a kid, when you get that new promotion, then you'll finally be happy. Well, until we get there, we just want to complain about it. But lasting peace will only come from God. And the restlessness we feel isn't calmed by external factors. Let's continue here in verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So we're to fill our minds with positive things going on in our life. When we think about the good, it's probably going to be more likely to come out in our words. I'd like to finish this sort of section of Scripture in verse 9 here. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And notice, the God of peace will be with you. So here's another reference to God providing his peace when we think about those good and positive things. By following God's way and imitating the things which we've learned, we will find peace. If you'll flip back next to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to be reading verses 16 to 18 over here. Just a few books back. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 16. And it states, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." When we have this attitude of thankfulness, when you actually consider how much God is involved in the small details of your life, you'll find less complaints coming out of your mouth. Even with all the problems in the U.S., we're still so blessed to live here. To meet here on the Sabbath without disruption, being able to worship God, getting a day to forget about all the cares of this world, all the rush, you just get to let it all slide, and you don't feel bad when you turn off your iPhone right before the Sabbath. Just let it all slide away. You get a rest, you get a sleep, you get to remember the purpose of why we exist. It's a true blessing. In this country, we have plenty to eat, place to sleep, you're able to read, you can access your Bible on your phone pretty much at any point, at any time. You're stressed out. You're able to contact anyone in the world almost with just a few clicks on your phone. And if you compare our conveniences to any other point in history, it's really hard to complain. You might say, okay, well, maybe back in Adam and Eve. You know, obviously it was better then than it is now. But it's so convenient. Everything is so convenient. Earlier this week, I wanted several LED light bulbs. We had a few that burn out across the house. And I usually get LEDs because I'm cheap and I try to save money. So I'm like, oh, LEDs, you know. Better cost-benefit analysis in the long run. So I get on my phone, order those before I go to bed. Don't think anything more about it. You know, you can think about something, 10 seconds, go on Amazon, click it, it's gone. And then I didn't think any more about it. It just shows up at your doorstep. It's crazy. Crazy how convenient it is. You go into the bathroom, you turn a knob, instant water. It's amazing. You want it slightly warmer? Just turn it just a little bit. Perfect. Slightly colder. I mean, people are washing their hands more because of coronavirus, so that's a good thing, probably. But you have that instant water. It's always at your fingertips. You flick a light switch. We have fans in here. Sort of, I know the women complain about those, so sorry. But for the guys, we like those fans. Flip a light switch. You have instant light. The room's illuminated. But often, our minds are just so filled with the problems we have. And we have a tornado come through like it did this week. Some of those luxuries are taken away from people, and you realize how thankful we really should be. We need to be thankful in our prayers and request help to stop complaining about all this small stuff. So let's look now at the second way we can reduce this chronic complaining in our life. Point two is practice being content. Practice being content. If we go over to 1 Timothy 6. That's 1 Timothy 6. Point two is practice being content. 1 Timothy 6, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. 1 Timothy 6, read a couple short verses over here. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 and 7. And it states, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." You know, we spend so much of our time working for things that have no real lasting value. We weren't born from the womb holding $100 bills in our hands when we came out. We We were born with nothing, and at the end of our life, whatever digital wealth we have, whatever possessions we have, it's going to be split up among heirs, maybe friends, maybe creditors, depending on how it all goes down at the end. Let's continue here in verse 8. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Did you eat this morning? I don't see any naked people in here. With food and clothing, we shall be content. It doesn't say once you have food and clothing, keep complaining. Let your neighbor know what you want. Let your neighbor know why you feel uncomfortable. No, it says to be content. Let's notice here in verse 9 and 10. For those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The desire to be rich permeates our society. It says it's here as a temptation and a snare. It drowns men. The old mantra of working hard to get ahead, well, that's starting to lose favor in our nation. The idea that you have something, I want it. I shouldn't have to wait. Why would I have to wait? That's ridiculous. That whole mentality, that entitlement mentality, is just accelerating faster and faster. It doesn't matter that you sacrifice years to get what you wanted, to drive the car you have, to be in the house you're in, whatever you want to spend your money on, travel. Well, I deserve that too, and you need to give it to me. And if you're not going to give it to me, I'm going to elect someone who is. I mean, if you just watch the Democratic primaries and see this more and more states are coming, this more socialist movement, it's not going to go away, and it's not going to end well, that's for sure. But it says here in verse 10 that some in the faith have strayed because of their greediness, and it caused themselves many sorrows. So that can happen to me and you. We can get strayed away with this greediness. Let's look now at our third way to reduce this chronic complaining in our life. Point 3 is control your physical variables, exercise, nutrition, and sleep. Point 3 is control your physical variables, exercise, nutrition, and sleep. I'd like to go over to 1 Corinthians 6, if you would. We're going to start in verse 18 over here. The context of this is related to sexual immorality, but it's been tied to taking care of your body in the past, and I think that's definitely applicable. So let's look over here at 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to read verses 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 18. And it states, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." Notice here in verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Once we get baptized, we were paid for by Jesus Christ's blood. It says here that our body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. So how can we glorify this temple? Well, by taking care of it, making sure the temple is ready for optimal use. You know, when we're tired, we complain more. We blow things out of proportion, and we try to cover it up by getting amped up on caffeine and think that's going to be okay. You get amped up on caffeine, then you explode. Someone on the phone, "I've done it before. I'm sure I'll do it again." The church used to talk a lot more about the importance of self-care regularly. And if you have young children, you can think of this analogy. If you think about a child, you think about them taking their naps on time, you know, going to bed, not getting hyped up on sugar, getting some exercise outside. If you compare that child on that day compared to when they stay up really late on a Friday night, and you pay for Friday or Saturday night, usually Saturday night, and then you just pay for it Sunday. You know, they're just screaming, they're just fighting about the stupidest things. You just keep going over and over and over, just trying to, you know, just do the very basics, just get through the day so you can get to the next day. Those bad attitudes permeate. If you think about that as an adult, it's really no different. We're just like children in some ways. The complaining never seems to stop. It's obviously less pronounced in adults, but it still exists for sure. If you notice yourself cranky, try to go to bed a little earlier. Go for a walk in the morning or afternoon. Blow some steam. Maybe take a break from the burgers and grab a salad instead at lunch. You know, we can't control all the things that are thrown our way, we know that. But during the daily grind, we can just push ourselves so hard and let the physical life sort of slide a little bit. And when we do, we tend to let things get blown out of proportion. It's really not that big of a deal. And with all of that comes more complaining. Turn over to Psalm 127, if you would. Psalm 127. Let's start verse 1 over here. Psalm 127, verse 1. And it states, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." So anything we try to do without God's help, we know it's pure vanity. Let's notice verse 2. Again, that's chapter 127, verse 2. "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." So we're wasting our time when we get up early, if we stay up late, if God isn't involved in our lives. God wants to give you his beloved sleep. You should really take advantage of it. I know we can't do that all the time, but in general, we should be well-rested people. God wants us to succeed spiritually and physically. I'd like to turn now over to 1 Timothy 4, if you would. This was a scripture I used to have in our home gym in Indiana. Go over to 1 Timothy 4, and read verse 8. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. And it states, For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is in that which is to come." So here we notice the focus of this verse is to pursue godliness, and as it profits now and in the life to come. But it still states that bodily exercise does profit. When we tap into that dopamine and endorphins regularly, we're going to help reduce our complaints. It's hard not to talk about complaining without at least looking at one example, the Israelites. So let's notice just a couple quick verses back in Numbers 11. We'll flip back there. Numbers 11. There's so many examples you could probably turn to related to this. Just want to notice one back here. Numbers 11, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Numbers 11, verses 1 and 2, it states, "Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. And the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched." So here the Israelites complained, and once again, angered God. And it angered him to the point where he burned some of them with fire. We have to be on guard so we aren't continual complainers either. It's very prevalent in our culture. Our complaints affect our coworkers, our friends, our spouse, if we have one, our kids, if we have those, even God himself. There's really no end of things that we can come up with to complain about. Even with all the nice things we have, all the luxuries we enjoy, there's still things. Starbucks line's too long. Well, hopefully covering these three strategies today will help you not to become a chronic complainer. Be thankful and request help in prayer. Practice being content. And control your physical variables, exercise, nutrition, and sleep. No one is immune to complaining, But I'd like if you would take that one thing that you thought about, maybe that one thing that you put on the top of your piece of paper, and try to reduce complaining about that. Just this one point. Just take this home and think about it. Try not to complain about that this week. Maybe put it on an index card, 3x5. Put it on your desk so you see it in your cup holder. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your nightstand. Put it on somewhere you can see it, wherever that is for you. And do everyone a favor and stop complaining about it. Don't be that little complaining kid in the backseat.